Blog Talk
Let's
Radio.
Do it. Oh yeah. I said, oh yeah. Oh, 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 oh yeah. Come on, Luther. It's Empowerment Saturday. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rome, in a group. Coming to you live. Got Sister Krista with a message to the black woman, Brother George, Willamich, Kwanzaa, you, me, and family. So much more. Family time. Call a friend, family member, African American Empowerment Saturday. Live and in color. No other way to do it except for love. There's no better love. Greater love. And kind. No greater love. Welcome to Empowerment Saturday. You know, it's African American Empowerment Saturday. 365 days of you know what for you know who. Who else? If not us, then who? We're going to have to turn the page on some things that we've been doing and start doing something different. That's right, I said it. We're going to have to turn the page, flip the page, turn the page, and start doing some things differently. We're going to have to do some different work and have a different mindset and a different mentality. We're going to have to grow, right? We're in a system, right? And we have to understand that system, how that system is impacting our children and our families and our communities. And then we're going to have to take the steps to maneuver around some of the things that are happening, but we have to become aware of what those things are. We're being influenced. You, me, us, we're being influenced. Let's get to the tenets of the NAAEA. Got Sister Krista on deck today. Call the sister, right? Call the ladies, right? This is for the ladies, African-American. Now, for all African-Americans, don't get me wrong, but we're going to specifically speak to the sisters today, a sister, by a sister, for a sister, and you want to call somebody and tell them to get in on this conversation. The pillars, here we go. We're spelling out peace because we need peace within ourselves, within our families, within our communities, individual, family, and community. What are those things, Marvin? Politics. We need a political agenda. You better understand American politics and how to get in, not to get in to fit in, but how to be able to manage and navigate the system as it impacts you, how it relates to you, the laws, the rules, the regulations, the politics. You see they don't have it all together up there where they are. So why not invest our time into creating institutions that are going to develop our people to participate in the system effectively for us? What's wrong with that? Nothing. But you got to educate yourself, right? You got to become aware now. You have to understand the political agendas that other people have that move, regulate, manage, and manipulate you. And we're going to have strategies, right? Nothing wrong with that. All other cultures and communities do it. Why not us? If not us, then who? If not you, then who? Right? We're going to have to understand economics. That's the E. Economics, and have an economic platform and an economic agenda to help us. That's it, right? We're not begging for handouts and all of that. Right, I know we need reparations. We need to build institutions that define our own realities, and you can't do that without money. And so if you have money, then you need to know how to manage it, right? How to use it, how to earn it, and then how to make that money grow, but also how to put it back in to invest and reinvest in ourselves and our young people and our families and our community. That's our job. Next is the A. It's personal now. Athletics. That means health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. What's your health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition agenda for 2023? We're in now, right? Are you going to take care of your physical health? You got to take care of your temple. You got to take care of not only your physical health, but your mental and emotional health, right? Not only that, but your financial and economic health goes along with that. You got to de-stress. You got to work on yourself. You got to do the self-management piece, right? You got to eat right, right? And you got to make a commitment to taking care of self, a wellness plan that really looks at those areas of being able to take care of yourself. And then culture, relevant cultural programs like this one that really educate you and get you thinking about what you can do. And then once you get the can do, then go out and do something, right? Do something for your community, for your family, for your friends, and let's stop doing a whole lot of talking and get out and do some work, right? Individually and collectively, wherever you are, you're going to have an agenda, right? And the agenda can't be self ish. It has to be selfless, right? We got to stop being individuals, right, in this individually driven society and become a collective. Yeah, that's hard work, but we got to do the work of working on ourselves. And lastly,
is education, right? A comprehensive education that really looks at how we develop ourselves, teach, train, and develop ourselves, our family members, and our communities. Nobody's going to do if you don't do that. Then we are in a world of trouble. If not you, then who? If not us, then who? We're going to have to do the work. Stan Macklin moment. Thank you for joining us today. Be right back.
Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
Brother Stan is so right. He is so, so right. He's so right. And you know what he's right about? He's right about building those institutions, right? Where are we funneling our money that's going to help us be adaptive, right, to the needs of our communities as they face us, right, and as we face them? How are we going to develop those institutions that remind us of the things that we need to do for ourselves, right? This is not against anybody. This is for us because we need it. All you have to do is go into the communities and the families and see it, right? There is a lot of dysfunction that we have to repair, and we're going to have to do the healing. We're going to have to do that work, and the work begins with each individual doing the work of working on ourselves individually and collectively. And now, the part you've all been waiting for is Brother George and Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment. I know he got something good for us today. Come on, brother. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, Mom.
Bring it. What?
Right. Well, that's my baby. She on the line today, y'all. Hey. We right here. Brother George.
Yes, sir.
We right here. How you doing, brother?
Well, I'm doing fine, brother. You know, it's a new year coming in, and well, it's a new year that's already came in, and I feel good about, you know, the things that we can accomplish this upcoming year, and you know, it's a few irons in the fire that we're going to be working with, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
And
what you got for us today?
Today,
oh, go ahead. What you got?
From the Nguza Saba, Kuji Chagalia, self-determination. To define ourselves, speak for ourselves, and speak for ourselves. I really love that principle. I really love it. Kuji Chagalia, self-determination. Rites of passage and initiation ceremony in traditional African culture place a great deal of emphasis on self-discipline as a means of attaining personal power and realizing one's full potential. Self-discipline and self-expression are the twin keys to a balanced, effective, and productive character. Now, today, with the Willie Lynch segment, I'm going to read from a book that I've always wanted to master what's in this book. And the book is written by Kaba Hiawatha Kumeni. Some of y'all may have known him as Brother Booker T. Coleman, but he's changed his name now to Kaba Hiawatha Kumeni. And his book is The Chewbacca Stone. And Chewbacca Stone, which is an African theory on the origin and continuing development of the cosmic universe. The comedic origin of the cosmic universe is an African theory concerning the events before, during, and after the creation of the cosmos. The cosmos is the ordered and arranged parts of the universe. Along the Happy or Nile Valley, using its river as life systems, African people look to the skies, land, and water to answer many questions they had concerning the beginning of beginnings. The story of cosmic beginnings carved on Chewbacca's stone is a theoretical theory that ancient African scholars in Kush and Kemet, which is also known as Egypt, and Kush is also known as Ethiopia, speculated about thousands of years ago. The stone outlined a scientific yet spiritual allegory concerning the origin of the cosmic universe. This wisdom, excuse me, like the cosmos, is a forever evolving process of becoming named Khepra. Pharaonic philosophy grounded in Kush inspiration flourished and reached its peak during the Old Kingdom, spanning from the first to the sixth dynasty, about 4,245 BC to 2,064 BC. It was a thorough, dynamic, organic method of thinking, speaking, and doing. It transformed naturally outward like a plant that is given the proper support and cultivation. The creative origin, original matter, and the creations created from it by the energetic power of the creator are one and the same thing. There is only one word, a universe. All things in it and of it, it is, and it is in all things. The creator and the creator's creations are made of the same substance. The cosmos came into being through the unity of three in one, the original Trinity, none matter, Fatah energy, and Atum is creative word. These concepts are humanity's attempt at recording a system of philosophy. The origin of the principle of the creative word is found in the doctrine of free speech as a source of ordering and arranging a natural reality. This concept understood that the sun was the cause of life, eternity, strength, resilience, and immortality. Ancient African deep thought viewed this complementary relationship between the sun and its creations as inseparable from humanity's destiny on the planet and throughout the cosmic universe. Now, I know I said a lot there, but the idea of the Chewbacca stone, the story of creation, was written on a stone, and it was interpreted from that stone. And now, you know, Kaba Khomeini wrote this book to try to break it down and simplify it for the average one of us. And so it's not as complicated as, you know, all of what I've just read, but I find that very interesting, and that's one of the areas that I'm going to be trying to research in the future. So if you have no questions, brother, it's back to you.
Thank you, Brother George. Knowledge is power, right? Okay. It's about education, sure. African-American education, and we're going to have to, I would say, start with Booker T. Coleman, right? For those who don't know the name, is not familiar with it, start with that. And again, Brother George just dropped a jewel on you. But if you're not familiar with the information, go out and do the research and just listen, right? Now, here's the question for today. How do we, in our current condition, order, arrange, and rearrange our current reality as it stands for African Americans in this country?
A lot of it can come from using the sources that are already available. It's like you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You know, if the wheel's already been used, then we should use that wheel. And so it's a lot of information that we as African people already knew, and we still know inside of us, you know, in our DNA, we still know the same stuff. But we have to get back that eagerness to learn that was taken from us during slavery, you know. And now we're not eager learning the way we used to be. There's no way that people can sit up all night and all day studying the sun, moon, and stars to come to the conclusion that our people came to without an eagerness to learn. And so I think that when we get that back and just go to the sources that are already available to us and begin to study those things, I think that we'll, you know, be headed on the right path, Brother Marvin.
Thank you, Brother George. You're absolutely right. Well, how do we get back on the right path, right? Kuji Chagaliya, self-determination. See, we're doing the principles of Kwanzaa year-round. All you got to do is pay attention and then apply the principles, not only within yourself, within your family, and then try to extend that out. We stay up for a whole lot of reasons, right? Some of us stay up all night playing cards or doing whatever we do or watching movies or whatever. How about investment time now? How about we understand what we need to do, the tools that we need to develop to reach our fullest potential as individuals first, as a collective community, building and rebuilding each other, creating structure, focusing on personal development and self-expression, and developing people with great character. Let me say that again. Developing children with great character who are men and young men and women of their word, right, who have ethics and morals and values, but most of all, having self-confidence and belief in themselves and their parents and their families, right? We have been corrupted so much that we've lost the value of humanity in so many ways. So today's discussion is going to be about how do we return to that. We're starting with the focus this year on our women. So we brought the sister in. Sister Krista is going to be here today, right? We're going Slido today. If you want to make a comment during the lecture, the workshop there, or discussion, slido.com. Code 150-5007. Again, slido.com. All you got to do is type it in. It'll come right up. And then put in the code 150-5007. You want to call in 845-277-9250. It's the number to call to get in on the hotline because we need you to be a part of the discussion today. So we're looking at sisters. It's a message to Black women with Sister Krista. So let's bring Sister Krista in right now. You know how we got to do it. Let's welcome her in. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Bring it, Sister Krista.
Bring it.
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me once again.
You're welcome. Hey, that was a really amazing show last week with Brother Hassan. And the brother is bad. He's doing some great things. Bad isn't good, folks. Right? But now we got you today, right? In center stage. And we're talking about African American empowerment, right? We're talking about the things that we need to do. And so you have develop the message, right? And you have a really great story, and you talked about a lot of different things that you do in the community and the great work that you're doing. But we want to focus in on African-American empowerment. And we know that the family moves through the man and the woman, right? It's a partnership, it's a pairing, right? And it's a relationship. So let's talk about the things that we need to do in 2023, and specifically what you spoke to about how African-American or black women need to do some things. What are those things that they need to do as we move forward in 2023?
First and foremost, I always say, you know, the system is built to control and really dismantle, you know, and rebuild us the way they want us to function and they want us to work. So mm-hmm. we have to first recognize that we have, as women, have been dismantled, right? We have, they dismantled the entire house when you dismantle the women, because the woman is who makes the house a home. Mm-hmm. So dismantle the home, lock out the man, empower the women. You know, it's a conditioning of the mind to make us think that we have been empowered when actually we're just being controlled, right? And some of the TV shows that we watch back in the day, like Good Times and What's Happening, and James was the father figure on television who could never find a job, and Michael was the woke child who, you know, always tried to, you know, empower the house at work, and then he was laughed at or he was told to be quiet, go to his room. He could never really elaborate, so he kind of was trying to give his father some little nuggets, but and dropping jewels and gems, but you know, it always fell on deaf ears a lot of times. The son JJ, he was just, you know, comic relief, and we were brought up to think that that was the norm, and the wife, she was always the one had to pick up the pieces and, you know, fix mm-hmm. things. And, you know, she would get frustrated and she would rant and rave. You know, her famous line was, damn, damn, damn. Because she was always having to go through, you know, all of that. So I just look at, and then the other show was What's Happening. What's Happening was, you know, the father was never in the house. And then the young boys, Roger was left to keep the family, you know, be the father figure in the household and take care of his little sister while the mom was out working. And he left with instructions on what he could do. But then when he get out of line, you know, the little sister will run back and tell what he did. Ooh, I'm telling mom. So, you know, and we was raised to think that that was normal, and we would rush home and to turn on these programs, and we, you know, lived that lifestyle, and we lived that thinking that that is our norm, and that is the way a family could survive, and surviving to make it another day, that good for us, while in all actuality that was not a good example. You know, it's okay to strive and make it through, and that's okay, but that's not ideal living. So it was just conditioning our mind to thinking that we'll be all right in those circumstances. Instead of having shows to show you how to invest, show you how to, you know, build and self-wealth and be prosperous for a mm-hmm. long time, they don't have shows like that for us. Mm. You know, those things were stuck in a book, and then we wasn't even taught to read properly.
True.
So, you know, I look at the frustration of a woman, you know, and the history of all that we had to tuck under the rug and keep our day going, and all that we had to, you know, be quiet about, and the things that we had to overlook. And that is mental health issues that we have suppressed in our subconscious mm-hmm. mind, and we just make it through the day. We make a dollar, make a dollar out of 15 cents, and we say, okay, tomorrow, what we got to go through for tomorrow, you know. So for going forward, you know, I would like to see us as women, you know, just rebuilding ourselves and, you know, taking better care of ourselves. It's not being selfish to, you know, do self-care. But we also, you know, it starts with us taking accountability for our actions and the things that we, you know, help dismantle. Because we can't point the finger when we have fingers pointed back at ourselves. Because we, too, help dismantle some of these things. You know, even when you fill out an application for food stamps and subsidized housing, you know, the man is X out of the equation. He's not to be living in the house. You get that help so that you don't need him in the house. And the help is that really help or is that another way, another trap? But it makes you feel inferior because pay for your own groceries. You don't need no help paying for your groceries. You know, the portion of your bill is being paid as long as you live under the system's rules. So it's not to give you a leg up, but some of us take it and we'll be like, we don't need no man. You can get out of my house. I don't need you. And then you'd rather the system be your husband.
Let me stop you right there for a minute, sister. You talked about, and we hear it a lot right now, particularly recently in this time frame of, I don't need a man, right? How do you feel about that as a sister and a female when that is like the mainstream concept, the construct that our people are really pushing and promoting? Or that's what we hear, right, in our culture on social media. What do you think?
That means the whole concept of yin and yang is false because or opposites doesn't exist. Like you're going against God's creation when you say you don't need a man, right? For one was formed from the man. Two, I just feel like, you know, when you say you don't need a man, even those of same-sex relationships and still at some point wind up wanting to birth a child, wanting to take testosterone pills. Why are you taking the pills if you don't need a man? You're still trying to put the man dynamic into the relationship when you're taking those testosterone pills. When you say transgender, you're turning into a what? So I'm so confused by when they say you don't need a man when there are women out here trying to portray a man.
True.
I need that explained to me. I'm a little confused by that. But, you know, let me say this. During slavery, when we were, and we came out of the oppression and we were given empowerment and we have empowered ourselves, we learned to read and those things. Those things were supposed to be to overcome our oppressors, not to overcome a man or our men. It was supposed to be to learn to know better, to do better for against the hands of our oppressors. And we have taken that out of context, and we have used it against our own and each other. So that's where the dismantling, you know, comes in at.
So you titled this Message to the Black Woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak to why you feel that's necessary and where that theme came from for you?
For me, you know, I have my children's father are from Cameroon, Africa. And I look at the way, you know, it took me a long time to get in their good graces, because they look at me, at, they originally saw me as a nigger. And they don't consider themselves niggas because they're free. You know, they were never, they never lived through the struggle. But they came over here and took advantage of the things that they could take advantage of to educate themselves while we are still trying to get the right to do those things. And I think that's where the disconnect, where the misunderstanding comes between, you know, Africans and African Americans. So, I look at how they wrap their hair and they, you know, they weave their own garments. A lot of times they make their own things and they grow their own crops and they're down in the grit. And, you know, a lot of things that we get, we just buy it. We work and we buy it. And it comes easy to us. You know, we don't have to labor for it if we don't want to. Now, if we do, it's a craft or it's a hobby. But for them, it's something that it's survival. And if the tables were turned and we were taught to go back to those survival techniques and learn how to fish and learn how to hunt and learn how to and stop just buying labels, things that are already labeled. You're wearing somebody else's, working hard to wear somebody else's label who don't even consider you. So I think those principles and those things, you know, that my message to a black woman is just kind of not allow ourselves to fall victim, because I fell victim to it for many years until I was introduced to this family and I just look and I watch how they move as a family dynamic. I watch how the youngest girl was born here. I mean, was raised here, so she's kind of the, I won't say the black sheep of the family, but she's Americanized more so than her older siblings. And they can't get a grasp of her and let her, and they say, we're going to send you, they always threaten to send her back home so she can get that upbringing that she needs to know who she is as a person, as a black woman, and then bring her back over here, and she will move differently. But they're like, oh, Lord, what do we do? You know? And I look at how she is, and I said, wow, you know, we are very lost as a race of people. We don't know who we are. We don't know who we come from. So we just grasp to a little bit of everything. We dye our hair blonde. We put blue contacts in our eyes. We wear labels that are not our own. And when I see an African woman wrapped in garments and wear their clothes, and, you know, these are the things that they made and they took pride in weaving for themselves and for their children. So, you know, my message to the black woman is we have to reinvent ourselves. We have to a hard look at the damage that we suffered. I went out to the Lee Monument when they was tearing it down, and I put on some African clothes and I stood out there and took some pictures and, you know, posted on my Facebook page. And my mother said, "Why do you have that costume on?" And I said, "Costume." Mm. You calling my African garments costume? Wow. And my mom is, you know, born in 1950. So, you know, she grew up in an era where, you know, just coming out of slavery and getting, you know, acclimated into diversity in the schools and stuff, straightening their hair and, you know, looking the part of what the white man wanted you to look like, so you wouldn't be caught or beaten or you know, so you could fit in. I said, "You are the one with the costume on, ma'am." And she just looked, and she could not grasp the concept of what I was talking about. So, you know, I didn't want to, you know, go too deep into her to it with her, but I was just shocked that she said that I had on a costume. And I'm like, you're the one with your hair straight. You're the one that's wearing the white man's garments. Excuse me? So, yeah. I just say we have to really dive.
We're talking about culture, right? And, you know, some of our people will be, you know, will say, you know, if I want to wear blue eyes or blonde hair, I can. You know, it's I can do whatever I want to do in this culture. And one of the things that you mentioned as we talked about, you know, preparing for this show is don't fall for the hype. And America is like Hollywood, right? Can you go into how that imagery is impacting our people?
Most definitely. So I did 18 years of massage therapy, and I worked at a spa with all Vietnamese. And I look at how we wear the lashes, we put on the false nails, we do our hair and makeup, eyelash extension, and all those things. But I also, while I'm sitting there, I'm looking at my coworkers who don't have any of those things on. They don't wear the false nails. They don't as much. Let me just say much. Say none of them do, because some of them. But for the most part, they're selling us to us, and they're selling things they don't typically wear us. So if we were to open up a Asian store, you think they would come in there and buy anything from us? If we were selling chopsticks, and we were selling chopsticks and kimonos. So is this sad that we fall for so much and we buy into a lot of things and put money? It's like we prove their point. It's like we always proven their point of how ignorant we can really be. Not ignorant as in stupid, but ignorant as in blind to the fact that they're using us. And, you know, it's not a lot of time. The only time that they allow me in, you know, they only allow me in because to them, I'm an exceptional nigga. Oh, you do massages, pedicure, manicure. You do all of the things that we do. Oh, we like you. Come on in and work with us. Only now, if I was just a regular nigga, no, they wouldn't even hire me. Come, you know, the food that they sell to us, they're not eating. Look at what they're eating in the back. What they're serving us and what they're eating is two different things. I promise you it is. I've worked with them for many years. And I asked the question. You know, I always ask the hard questions. Why are you not eating what I eat? Well, you know, y'all like this, and this is what you should be eating. And their food, the presentation, the value of their food is so much cleaner. So you know exactly what it is. Now, they have some custom foods that, you know, we would probably never eat and we're not accustomed to. But at the same time, the health, what it does to the body and what they put in it and the health aspect of it, you better believe they're feeding us junk. The FDA says as long as you can consume it and pass it, it passes.
Wow, to that one. Well, let me ask you this, sister. We talked about wholesome and whoresome, right? Or wholesome. Wholesome and whoresome. Where are we, right, in terms of our culture and what it is that we're doing in this country and what the world sees as our reflection nowadays?
For women, sex sells. Let me go back. I like to use myself as an example all the time. So as a massage therapist, you know, when you come into the spa and you get in a massage, you know, you can make you can make good tips as long as you are doing what you should be doing. But I can make even greater tips if I was in there doing something raunchy, right? So I look at singers like Beyonce. I look at singers like Cardi B. And they sing single ladies, all the single ladies, you know, and Cardi B twerking and them. But Cardi B before she was married was very raunchy. Cardi B now is very covered up, wholesome. But before she was whoresome. Beyonce sings about all these things about being by yourself and standing on your own 2 feet. I think she wished she could do that. But we all know Jay-Z got her on a tight leash. So when she goes home, she is wholesome. So what they're singing about and their lifestyle that they're living is two different things. Two very different things. And because sex sells, that's what people buy into. That's what people pay attention to, drama. Anything that's drama, you know, dramatic or, you know, overdone, we pay attention to.
Kristen,
yes.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
Oh, okay. Do you think that because they know a lot of the misery and dysfunction that is taking place in the black community with young black females, you know, being raped, you know, by cousins and uncles and stepdads and, you know, being mistreated like that and being tricked, you know, manipulated, you know, because they just want to be a part of something. And, you know, that leaves them open for manipulation. You know, I mean, I grew up in the hood myself, so I know
right.
what the kind of things we used to do. And mm-hmm. do you think that those singers, cater to that. They know that our young women are experiencing, you know, they're suffering from that dysfunction and those mental issues that need to be, and spiritual issues that need to be addressed. And so they sing those songs so that they could sell their product.
Of course, you're feeding off of people's demise. Of course, you're going to do what is, you know, what's popular and what's, you know, you seek to devour the things that, you know, you're feeding off of people's pain and, you know, highlighting it and making and gaining the fame off of it. But, and some of the experience are their own, you know. But that's across the board. I wouldn't say just where I know we're talking about the black women, but you know, when it comes to manipulation and all of those things, that goes for men and women. You can be manipulated by a woman just as much as you can be manipulated by a man. But everybody is looking for a quick fix, a quick way to get to success because we have suffered for so long. We have been the underdog for so long. We think that it has to, Harry, it has to be microwave blessings. Everybody's looking for a microwave healing, a microwave blessing, a microwave, a way of getting rich and harrying up and getting to a wealthy state of mind, peace, you know, whereas we'll show a little cleavage or show a little leg to, because we know that person is going to pay us some attention and or come out with money or, you know, wine and dine us. So a lot of times we put ourselves in predicaments. You know, we as women, we have to start taking accountability for the things that we bring to, you know, to ourselves. Wrong attention, you know, good and bad attention, let me say that, because everybody is trying to hurry up and get to a place where they can have a seat. I always say, look at traffic. Traffic is always rushing just to go home from work.
Right.
You rush home.
True.
Just to sit down. Just to sit down and you sit in front of the TV. You're rushing just to do nothing.
Right.
Because you've been worked and overworked all day long. So we have the black people, we have been overworked for so many years. We're in a rush to make a little bit of money or a lot of money just to have a seat.
Well, let's talk about what you mentioned about black women and privilege. What are your views on that?
I think, you know, when it comes to black women and the black man, we are the ones with the privilege. We are, just like white people feel that they're more privileged against us as a black race. But we as black women, we feel like we're the ones with the privilege when it comes to a black man, because black men are being killed. They're being, you know, beaten. They get the lesser of, you know, they get the short end of the stick a lot of times when it comes to us, where we're always, there's programs to help us, you know, take care of the kids. And I understand, we birth the kids, okay, we carry kids for 9 months, we've nurtured them, but when it comes to the protecting of our children, we fail at that. We lose our kids every day to the streets. A mother is out there crying because we have lost our kids to the streets, because guess what? We done kicked the man out of the house. He can no longer protect our kids. Don't talk to my son like that. Don't talk to my child like that. Get out. You know, we do that to our black men when they're trying to be that stern protector. And then when the demise happened, it's, oh, his father wasn't there and he left us at da-da-da-da-da. But what part did you have to play in that as a woman? You can't point the finger always at the man. You the one told him he wasn't needed in the house. You the one, you know, backed up the system and destroyed your own home. And then when something happens to little Tay-Tay, you want to say, oh, his father was never around. And to the fathers, I always say, to my brothers, I say, chase your children like you chase women.
Mm-hmm.
I don't allow my brothers or no man around me to be like, man, I can't even see my son because blah, 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 blah. No, sorry. That's unacceptable to me. Chase your children like you chase after these women. So yeah. I don't, and that's probably a whole nother show. But.
All right.
But yeah.
Let's go over to Slido, right? Slido.com, Slido.com. And the number for today is, well, let me see if I can get the number to make sure I got it right. 150-5007 if you want to make a comment. That way, over on Slido, the first question is, we have been taken from our culture and we are not Africans. And we live in America now. Why we just can't be ourselves? What do you say to that, Sister Krista?
Who are you, for one? That would be the first question. Who are you? If you want to just be yourself, who are you? Define what does that mean of being yourself. You know, the tools you were given, that's like me saying, I could build a house with Funker Toys tools when, and it's made of plastic. When we all know a hammer is made of steel and metal,
right?
So you're saying you're getting a watered down version of yourself, and you could be yourself, but it's a watered down version. Hey, I don't like water in my cereal. I like the real milk, whole milk.
She don't like water in her cereal. I like that.
So, yeah, you can most definitely be, if that's what you're comfortable with, That's where you know, someone who don't know themselves or don't care to know who they really are would say. So I'm not surprised. Yeah, be yourself.
Question is, how do we recapture the minds of our sisters? How do we recapture the minds of our sisters?
Courtship. For one, people who need to stop trying to link up. It's not about linking up. You got to go through the courtship, because she might not be for you, or he might not be for you. But until we get back to the court in a relationship, you know, you could find out a lot more about the person, you know, by courting them and dating, and not just jumping into the bed, because when you jump into the bed, now you done got spirits transferred. So now you done got 10 different women spirits on you, and you trying to find yourself and her too. No, you done put all 15 of those spirits on for her that you got from priors. So you're going to forever be lost in trying to find it. We have to start containing ourselves and courting one another, and not being so quick to, you know, just get to the, like I said, the good part.
I like that.
Slow and,
you know, something you said earlier. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's it. Slow and steady wins the race.
All right. I like that. I'm sorry for interrupting you. Something you said earlier, right, that got my attention. You said that they see us as niggers, right? Some people would cringe at that, but that's what you said, right? And that we're lost, right? So in what ways do they see us as niggers, and how would you define that? And when you said they see us as lost, can you characterize what that looks like?
Because we don't know who we are. They know the truth. They're the one that dismantled and rewritten it and wrote up these laws that governs us. You know, laws wasn't made until we got here. You know, until we fought for our freedom, then that's when laws started being put in place. Am I right? So once the laws and stuff started being put in place, it was to continue to have some type of control over us. So we will continue to be lost in who we really are, and, you know, rules and regulations, not saying that some of them aren't needed, but for the most part, it was created to keep us from learning. If we were totally free, if this was a totally free country, I mean world, we can go to Italy, we can go to Rome, we can go to Japan, we can go to Africa, we can go all over and find the black man everywhere, right?
Uh-huh.
And each one of their histories. But they don't want you to know why your eyes are slanted. They don't want you to know why your skin is a little lighter than the next person. They don't want you to know these things. They don't want you to learn the truth about you. So with the law, you have to have a passport. You have to have identification. You have to let them know where you're going, how long you're staying. You can't travel in certain airways. Why do you think those rules are put in place? Why do you think these restrictions on what we can and cannot do? Because if we was free as a bird, we would find out more ourselves. And those who just want to be law-abiding citizens, and you are a true nigger in my eyes. I mean, that's okay if that's what you're comfortable with, being sleep, if you're comfortable with you know, obeying the laws and working a 9-to-5 and being like a worker bee, and if that's what works for you and you instill those values into your children and your children's children, great. But for someone who's woke like myself, I can no longer sit aside and teach the European lifestyle to my children when I know better, when I know the history has been rewritten, and I want to see, I'm trying to get to the root of who I really am so I can be the best version of myself that I can be. And to them, I will be an exceptional nigger. Because I will have surpassed what they have, what restrictions they put on me.
Well, let's talk for a minute about, you mentioned earlier about repenting for 2023, right? You said repent, accountability, and rebuilding the black woman. Can you expound on that?
Accountability, you know, just knowing that repenting and accountability kind of goes hand in hand. You know, I have children, I have girls, to be exact, all girls. So, it, you know, once being a single mom in the house, I put a lot of pressure on my oldest daughter to help me raise the younger one, you know. And I had to repent to her for that when she became a certain age, and I became woke and realized that the system set me up to make me think that I was holding down my household without a man being around. So yeah, I had to repent to my girls, and then I had to take accountability for my actions and restore my household. And their godfathers, you know, play a very intricate part in their lives. They're very much around, and so are their fathers. And I never, you know, even though the relationship didn't work, I always allowed my kids to maintain a relationship with their fathers. And I played, I can say played nicely, but I made sure that we still had a family, as much as possible, you know, a family dynamic. Whereas if he needed to come over, he can come over, and, you know, vice versa. I never, you know, had tried to keep them out the house when it came to help raising the children. So, yeah, I had to repent. I had to do some self-care for myself, so mentally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my drive is making a family whole again. Reconstructing.
Okay, let's slide back over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about self-care in a minute, but I want to go back to Slido, because Slido is kind of heating up over here. Someone said sex sells because men are primary consumers. A business can't survive without customers. Accountability is for all.
So women don't do the same thing? No, this, you know, I can't just keep on saying sex sells because of men. Sex sells because of women too. We tear each other apart. BBLs is on the rise. We go and get these butts done to ourselves because we're looking at the next woman body and saying, I want what she has. We can't just keep on saying the men. We can't keep putting the blame on the man now. That's not fair. Do men buy into it? Sure they do. Do women buy into it? You better believe we do. We got lashes because her lashes are long. I need long lashes. She got a big booty. I need a big booty. She got her breasts done. I need my breasts done. So they might buy into it to the aspect of they're looking at it and they want to see it on TV and they want to go to the strip club. But we most definitely spend way more money on sex than the man does because we change our whole image to be looked at, to be, you know, to get the attention. So come on now. That's what I'm talking about, accountability. You got to hold ourselves accountable.
I heard that. All right, let's stay with Slido, and then we're going to go to the lines. It's just about 3 o'clock. This Salido is Malcolm X said the black woman is the most disrespected person in America, and I agree. Could you further explain your concept of black woman privilege?
We most definitely are. We're left vulnerable. That's the setup. That goes back to the beginning of what I said, dismantling the home. You know, once they got the man taken out of the home, we most definitely was dismantled, and we were made to thought that we could, you know, handle things on our own, and we didn't need a man, and killed, locked up, you know, and, you know, not hired, you know, for certain jobs, and, you know, fighting to, you know, just stay afloat, or stay in existence, really, while we as women, we just kept on going, and we were given the bare minimum, to which we can make a dollar out of 15 cents, and, you know, when it comes to us being privileged, we're more privileged over our black men, you know, not to anybody else. For sure.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the line. Thank you, Sister Krista. I see 606 have their hand raised. The number, 845-277-9250, if you want to ask a question for myself, Sister Krista, or Brother George. But also, Brother Warren told us, if you press 1, that means you can raise your hand and I can see that you want to ask a question. So we're going to go to 6606, our first question. Do you have a question or comment? 6606, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks. I came across the show and I was taking a look at your description page. And as I was looking at it, I went to the website of the African American Empowerment Association, and it seemed pretty good. So I was saying to myself, yeah, this is what every community needs. It needs to have its own community, its own members of within its own neighborhood to inspire, support, et cetera. And then as I was just about to leave your show and leave that website, then your guest says that she's no longer going to teach European history, I believe is what she said. I may be paraphrasing. If I'm saying it wrong, then correct what I thought I heard. And what was it that you meant?
Culture.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
So you
for listening.
Being taught European history is part of our history, of course. But we, too, have to teach our children our own history and where we come from. And, you know, our kings, you know, we talk about Queen Elizabeth, and we have kings and queens as well. We have people who invent things. You know, we all know a lot of things that we have invented was taken from us. And other people's name have been, you know, put on it because we were owned by, you know, our slaves, masters. So, but there's a lot of things that, you know, we have invented that's still in our name and we still own in other countries and other in our own culture. So when I say being taught European history, it's okay, but there's so much more than just European history.
So, in other words, in addition to what's being taught about European history, you also teach about African-American history.
Exactly.
Am I getting that? Oh, okay. That's different.
Not just that.
Huh?
I went to learn about not in just culture in general, different cultures in general. You know, I call myself international. Like, I work with Vietnamese for over 8 years. I have a plethora of friends from Bangladesh and Nepal. So I like to be well diverse. I like to consider myself to be well diverse. But, you know, those things are not taught as much. I live in the side of town that where it's very diverse. So when I'm walking and talking amongst my peers, we share different culture backgrounds, and I've learned a lot from different cultures, not just European. In my late 30s, I've learned these things. It wasn't taught in school.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because that sounds different than what it sounded before, is that you were going to not teach about European-American history at all and only teach about African-American history. So I wanted some clarification on that. So you gave it to me.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for calling. I appreciate you listening to the show. I think it's about culture, right? And for African-Americans, I know for a fact, and Brother George can chime in, we're at a deficit in terms of history and culture, right, which gives many individuals the confidence that they need, right, the self-esteem, right, the history and the culture that was stripped and taken away. How is that replaced, right? So you can identify with another culture, but you don't see yourself in there. And we want to be able to say, hey, here's some great things that we've done other than being slaves or being enslaving. So that's the part of it for me, is to be able to enrich young people and families and individuals and communities to have that confidence that they need within themselves. Brother George, you want to speak on that?
Yeah, I do. Because I kind of feel like that here in the United States, you do have some European Americans that want to talk about everything. But there's a large part of the white population that doesn't want to deal anything with race at all. And our governor, Youngkin, said that he did not want to teach anything that offended another group. Like, in other words, like talking about the cruelties of slavery and things like that. No, we ain't teaching that. And talking about stolen legacies, things that other cultures have taken credit for that actually was done by, we're not teaching that. And so it's like when we come forward and say that we want to teach our children our culture, and not focus so much on European culture, then we hear, you know, someone speak up. Well, that person really needs to speak up, like Malcolm used to say, to their own people. They need to speak up to Governor Youngkin and say, Governor Youngkin, why don't you want to teach things that deal with what happened between the two races in the past.
Exactly. Why don't
you, you see, so I just, I feel some kind of way when I hear, you know, statements like that, especially in the times that we live in right now, you know.
Not only that, I would say that, you know, their history, let's say white history, we are a big portion of their history as well, because we came over here and we had to show them a lot of things. So we should most definitely be in their books. We most definitely should be in the books on the things that we had to teach them how to do that they wasn't doing. You know, I can look at a lot of old slave movies and see how we breastfed their children. And so just listening to someone who wants to really, really get down to the nitty-gritty of the truth of the matter would be astounding to me. I would like to hear from an older white man or woman and their experience of how they experienced us when we were, you know, saying, what was their experience with us? So that would be true history as well.
Well, see, the thing that I'm talking about is, like Dr. Clark said many years ago, that what our history, African history, is just the missing pages of world history. So you can't
you can't study history and discount anyone, any part of history, because all of it is history. So if you are a true history buff, like J.A. Rogers was, he went around the world and did his research. He didn't just go to one place and say, okay, I'm just going to go to Africa, and whatever they say there, then I'm going to accept that as it. No, history is world history. Now, there is a history in Europe between the 8th century and the 15th century where African people were all up in Europe when the Moors were in Spain and dominated Spain. I've never heard that in any of my history classes in school. How can you not know that a people were functioning, civilized people functioning and accomplishing things in Europe for 800 years, and no one ever mentioned it to me? So, I feel some kind of way when a person calls in, and I don't know the person's race because I'm not looking at their face, so I don't know. You know, it might have been a black person that said that. But what I'm saying is this, is that we have been left out of the history of human civilization and its accomplishments. And we have the perfect right to teach our children whatever we feel that they're lacking. If they already are learning European history in school, then we need to teach them our history at home. And we have the perfect right to do that. We shouldn't feel any pain of conscience whatsoever to do that. So
I think that's the need for this show, and the reason and the purpose for this show is, if for someone who's just come across the show tag, is it's about African-American empowerment. And when you look at the mental and physical and emotional condition of our people as a whole, there is a need for this type of conversation and this type of dialogue. There's a need for understanding our own history and our own needs, but our own dysfunction and our own trauma as it stands, right? And so we're talking about rebuilding family and rebuilding community along the way, right? But history is an integral part of our process of being indoctrinated, right, and having the one-sided dimension to our experience. And so we're looking to have a holistic approach, right, mentally, physically, and emotionally to the experience. But I don't want to get sidetracked off the topic, right, because we've got some more people going on. I think that would be, again, a great topic to further discuss, but I want to go back to the lines. Thank you for the question. Let's go over to 7841. 7841, do you have a question or comment? You're on live.
Peace, brother.
7841. Peace, sister. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm excellent. Peace to everyone. I won't belabor the point but that Brother George made, but I definitely appreciate the clarity in that. Definitely. Absolutely and most definitely. The intention of this show and this platform is to address our needs as we feel fit. But my question was to the sister, actually. And I apologize because I didn't come in at the very beginning. I missed a few minutes in the introductory of the show. But I appreciate your discussion. And I wanted to ask a little bit about you were very clear on maybe some of the things that black women need to do to better themselves and their children and their community. I did want to hear what your thoughts were on what the black woman has done well and what she's doing well right now.
All right.
What don't we do well? Most definitely – like I said, take a dollar and make 15, take 15 cents and make it into a dollar. We make houses into, that men provide for us and make it a home. But, you know, it's a lot of things that we do well. We were taught that to do that. We were taught to suck it up and keep going. You know, we don't have the time to mourn. We don't have the time. We give birth and we get sent out to hospital. 2 days later, we're back at work. We do a lot of things well. We hide a lot of things well.
Mm.
We strive through a lot of things. We endure a lot. So we know we're powerful in that way. That, well, I'm not taking none of that away from, you know, being that I'm a black woman. I'm not going to never say what we can't do is because we can do it all. I'm saying, you know, we have to make room for our black men because we have gotten so beside ourselves in thinking that we don't need them. And I'm not speaking to all, and I'm not speaking to every woman, but society and the system has fixed it where we're Xing out our men. So, yeah, we do everything so well and we're provided so much that we feel we don't need a black man. And all I'm saying is let's not get too beside ourselves in thinking that we can do it all and without the man.
All right. There it is. 8022, you have a question or comment for Sister Krista, myself, or Brother George. 8022, area code 919. You're on live. Do you have a question or comment? All right, just listeners. Let's go over to 0946. 0946, you have a question or comment. Welcome to the show. All right, let's go over to 7840. No, we've been there. Let's go over to 9770.
Okay,
area code
24.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right. Welcome to the show.
I was on mute. Sorry about that. Yeah, good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Enjoying your perspective and empowerment for our community. I wanted to ask a question. Does lack of, and get your opinion on this, because regardless of how much we know or don't know about our culture, do you think that not having ethics, integrity, honesty, commitment, do you think that us having a better idea of our culture will impact that, or is that two different things? Because I'm wondering, after we get the information that we were kings and queens, mathematicians, and all of that, if we don't have any integrity or ethics or honesty in our relationship with one another, men, women, 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 will culture, having our history alone, be enough? So I just want to get your opinion about that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Whose opinion? Mine?
Yes.
Okay. Well, for me, I read a book by a brother. I can't remember his name, but he was saying how a lion tamer, how can a white man tame a room full of lions? And the way he was able to tame a room full of lions is that he first brainwashed them into thinking that they were kittens. He cracked the whip on them and beat them when they got out of line. And, you know, he made them roll over, lie down, and things of that nature. But if you were to put that lion back into the wild amongst other lions so that the other lions can teach him who he really was, how great they would be. So that analogy stuck with me about how we are as African Americans and how our mind has been conditioned and how we have been beaten to think that we have to straighten our hair and wear certain clothes that doesn't belong to us and that we didn't create. But the minute that we go to Africa and we learn, or Jamaica or wherever we're from, you know, and we learn the culture, our true culture, how great, more great we can be. Because we already have one side of it. But if we was to really dig deep and get the depths of who we really are, how great we could have been. And shame on those who didn't want a relationship with us with what we had and thought that we needed to be changed to fit their perspective of who they thought we should be.
Wow. I like that. You're listening live to Sister Krista on Empowerment Saturday, African-American Empowerment Saturday, 845-277-9250. If you have a question or comment, over on Slido, slido.com. The number is 1505007. Let's go back to Slido real quick. We got about 10 minutes left, so if you got a question or comment, let's bring it. All right. History has been taught through a white supremacist lens, that has centered whiteness and diminished and eliminated black people. What are your thoughts on that, Sister Krista?
I couldn't have said it better. You know, we have to most definitely not forget who we are and learn who we are, you know, so we can be resilient, so we can share our knowledge with the next sister and brothers. And, you know, what legacy do you want to leave behind to your children? When your children ask you, Mom, where I come from, who am I, you know, what would you be able to tell them? Do you want to give them the cereal with water in it, or do you want to give them the cereal with the whole milk, you know, and be able to tell the whole truth about who we are, and, you know, or do you want to keep giving them the watered-down version of who we are? So, you know, we have to implement change. We have to implement, you know, stability for our children's children, or, you know, we will become a wiped-out nation of people.
All right. Here's another question. Does she have anything positive to say about the black woman or black women? We are more than childbearers, and we have provided so much. Thoughts, comments, Sister Krista?
You know, a narcissist can always say, I, right? And I don't want to be a narcissist, right? I strive not to be narcissist. So we have done a lot because we had no other choice. We were, like I said, laws and stuff were set in place where we to X out the black man. And we're talking about accountability, and we're talking about restoration of, you know, making families whole again. And if we're going to do that, we have to stop saying, I, yeah, we can do this, we can do that. Yes, we can. We know that. We've proven that time and time again. When we were taken out of the cotton field into the shed, raped, and then have to go right back to the cotton field and finish a day's job, when we had to go watch our men be lynched and watch our children, watch other children being cut out of their stomachs, we stood and still standing and get back up and do it all over again as if we didn't just see what we saw. We all witnessed George Floyd getting murdered. But we still get right back up, and we still go right back to locking in, not at our own company, but for somebody else who don't care about what we just witnessed. That is mental. We are all mentally, have been mentally abused in that way. But we still stand. We still keep thriving. So, yes, we as a woman, we are more than conquerors. You know, Maya Angelou said it best, still I rise.
Amen to that.
Enduring all that we endure, we still rise above. We still keep it pushing. We still keep it going. We still produce babies after having miscarriages. So, yes, we are most definitely a strong. We're probably one of the strongest. We probably are
all right,
strongest.
Let's go over to 8502. But before that, we just got to text in and say we need a part two on this. So they're asking for us. So, Sister Crystal, you're going to have to come back for some more. All right, 8502, area code 919. You're on live. Do you have a question or comment for Sister Crystal, Brother George, and myself? 8502.
Yes, good evening, and Hotep to you, Brother Marvin, Brother George, and Sister Krista.
Hotep, welcome, brother.
I just have to make a comment because I appreciate Sister Krista and her message and her information and her dedication to what she's doing and what she believes in. And to be willing to respond to the questions and queries that people may have to help them make better decisions in their life. I appreciate her for that. But I have to say, she doesn't have to be expected to explain herself to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to, nobody to just expect you to explain your blackness and your love for your blackness. I think y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Gotcha.
Most definitely. I don't feel that way, you know. I just feel like we all need to get to a place where we stop having the wool pulled over our eyes. That's all this whole segment is about. Don't allow the brainwashing to continue. Don't allow, you know, our greatness to be stagnant to a 9-to-5 that's putting money in someone else's pocket when we all were blessed with gifts and talents. You know, it's a slap in God's face if we're not using it and we're clocking in to a 9-to-5 someone else when we were already given a gift. You know, the same way that they built their nation off of our backs, we have to kick them off our backs and start building our own nation.
All right. Well, we're getting close to the end, so let's get some final comments from you, Sister Krista. I want to see if I get a commitment for you to come back for part two. And again, I thank the listeners for all their input today. All right, that's what the purpose of this show is, for dialogue and feedback, whether you like it or not, whether you agree or disagree. Guess what? We're doing this. Sister Krista, final comments.
Just having my final comment is just in closing. I would like to for everyone to have a sense of belonging. We all are here. We all want to have a sense of belonging. We all are getting to the part where we have to get involved in our communities, you know, bring your gifts and talents to the forefront. Make sure that you are taking care of one another. It's not about just the woman. It's about our men as well. We don't want to forget our men, and we most definitely don't want our men to give up on us or forget about us as well. Be resilient. Be a sister to a sister and stand for change. And be willing to adapt to change.
All right. Thank you, Sister Krista. Again, we're looking forward to a part two. Bring you back so we can do some more of this dialogue and discussion. I think it's worthy of discussion, right? Because we're going to have to be able to have these discussions. And sometimes it's hard. But thank you, Sister. Brother George, we got 40 seconds left. What you got?
I'm good, brother. Thank you, Sister Krista, for giving us a beautiful show today. And that's it. I'm out.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. Thank you, Sister Krista. All the listening audience, for those who called just to listen, thank you for listening. It's African-American Empowerment, 365 days of motivation, personal empowerment. And then some questions that you got to ask yourself, whether you like it or not, right? It's good work either way. And guess what? We're working on ourselves. We got to do the thinking, and we have to do the work for ourselves, by ourselves, and with ourselves. Peace and blessings. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. Tell a friend. Peace and blessings. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.